Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. Today's show is the last show of my Mother's Day series special for the month of May. And this morning's topic is blended family, unconditional love. If there's a will, there's a way. Joining me this morning is Shirley Crest Dudley, a licensed professional counselor from Charlotte, North Carolina, with a master's degree in both marriage and family counseling and education. In addition to her practice, Shirley, along with her husband Eric, is blended family with five children. And so she also have written a book titled Blended Family Advice, Tips to Help Stepmoms and Stepdads with the Everyday Struggles of Blending a Family. Before we get started, here are some facts and figures. Remarried with children, the new family dynamics. It is wonderful to see successful couples coming together, but the nuclear family, as we know it, is disappearing. And here comes the blended families, a combination of adults and children from various families. Current statistics shows one-third of Americans are part of blended family, and this number is rising. About 75% of divorced persons will remarry, and 65% of those remarriages will include children from previous marriages. In fact, by 2010, blended families are projected to be the predominant family form in the United States. Helping us keep step with how these families are doing is my guest, Shirley Dudley. Please call 347-327-9995 to join us live with your questions or to share with us your story. Good morning, Shirley. How are you?
Good morning, Johnny. I'm fine.
Good, good. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your blended family before we get started to discuss some greater detail about today's topic?
Sure. My husband Eric and I have five kids. I have two and he has three, and they're 14, 16, 18, 19, and 21. Yep,
wonderful.
Yeah, all five. And then when we blended, we added a dog a few months ago. I have two dogs, and when Eric's kids' mother remarried in December, they decided not to keep one of their dogs, so we adopted, and now we have three dogs. So we actually have a stepdog living in our house.
That's wonderful. That's interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Can you tell us the definition of blended family, what a blended family is, and how has it evolved over the last 50 years?
Well, sure. Well, blended family, I think a lot of people think of the Brady Bunch, but it's when a man and a woman remarry and one or both bring children into the new marriage, and that forms a blended family. And the definition of family has changed over the years. It's not any longer just the nuclear family, which is mom and dad, but a family could have just mom, single parent, just dad, or it could be blended, which is mom and a stepdad or dad and stepmom.
What are the common misconceptions about blended family?
Well, I guess one of the most common misconception is the man and woman are so excited and they're ready to get married and everything's going to be so wonderful and so easy. And they're excited as a couple, but for the kids, it's just not that exciting and that fun that suddenly they are living in a home with siblings that they're not related to and a step parent that they may not know well. So that it's a common misconception that it's going to be very easy.
I see. Now, statistics show that a typical blended family is one where a new dad or a male figure comes into the picture, and for the most part, the new dad's children don't live with the blended family. How will that impact his children?
Well, the mothers, for the most part, are given the custody, and if kids are old enough to decide, they'll usually decide to live with their mother. But in that situation, they'll be visiting the dad every other weekend or sometimes half a week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The fathers, they can still have a very good relationship with their kids. It's a little bit different because they're traveling back and forth. And one good benefit is blended kids get to be very good packers. They become very good at packing their stuff and moving back and forth. And some find it difficult, and some find it kind of fun to move between the two houses.
I see. You know, now we have a lot of famous couples with children we've heard about, and they're really not legally married, so to speak, and that includes like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. How does that cohabitation, adults, which isn't really a family recognized in the U.S. Census, how does that impact families?
It is tough because kids need stability. So much has happened in their life. Mom and dad have divorced. Usually it's dad that moves out, and then the parents start dating again. And if they choose not to remarry and someone moves into the home with them, again, that's another change.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to have commitment and stability if there isn't going to be the marriage commitment. You don't want a situation where a family or a mom, for instance, is moving into different homes whenever the boyfriend changes or the dad moving a new girlfriend in or out. The kids just need, if there's going to be cohabitation, there needs to be a really strong commitment to give the children that stability that they need.
I see. Now, I mean, you know, I guess the difficult part, I remember a friend of mine telling me that he, and in this case even a she, would not really introduce the children until they are really, really, I mean, totally serious about where they're heading forward, I think, you know. And, of course, mm-hmm. I'm kind of backtracking here a little bit during the dating process. And so is that something that you see that's common, too?
Well, it's not as common as it should be, but it's very, very important because in the dating process, you're interviewing and you're trying to figure out who you want to spend time with. And sometimes it's really fun, and you may go out with someone once or twice and then decide that that's not someone that you want to spend more time with. And the kids don't need to be a part of that. Not until, it, like you said, they get serious and decide that they want to move toward a commitment, whether it's marriage or another type of commitment, then would be the time to involve the kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the challenges a blended family face?
One of the hardest parts is treating all of the children in the family equally, your biological kids and your stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
And when everyone is in the house together, it doesn't matter if it's your kid or your spouse's or your mate's child, you need to treat them equally and fairly. Also, parenting issues, especially those of us that remarried after we parented kids for a while. With us, we have teenagers, and they're different parenting styles. So having to negotiate and compromise, there's a lot of negotiation and compromise in a blended family where you learn to work together as a whole, not just two separate families thrown into the same bowl.
Well, do you think, is there any particular age, I guess, which is better for the children? Or is that there's no right age, so to speak, to have a blended family?
Of course, ideal, you know, is mom and dad live together, which in half the families of the United States, that's not happening. But it is easier to remarry at a younger age, where the kids are at a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
Children naturally want to have two parents in the home, a mommy and a daddy figure, and they more likely will blend into whatever situation you put them in, even if it's step-siblings along with a step-parent, because they, in their mind, that's what makes sense to them. And they blend much easier, and they accept the new reality of, okay, I go see dad every other weekend and Tuesday and Thursday, and that's just the way life is.
Mm-hmm.
And they blend much easier than a preteen and a teenager or adult children. They may even choose not to blend at all if they're not living in the home.
Right, right. When you look at situations like that, what are some of the common conflicts you have between the children in the family?
Usually jealousy. They're wondering if their stepmom treats her kids better than she treats them, or if stepdad again treats his kids better than they're being treated. And just wondering is the fairness. My husband and I have a time where I'll say, remember they're watching, you know, and we're always very, very careful to be very fair in birthdays or in anything that we
right.
do special for one child. We remember, we have to do it for four more children.
Right. I think, you know, growing up with, my sister and I in Malaysia, of course, we were both, it's a unique situation here because we were both adopted and we were adopted from different families, and she's 6 years older than I am. I think some of the things you mentioned here about jealousy, in all actuality, maybe it's more the children in blended family are more conscious of that, but I think in reality, even in real, the normal nuclear family will have the same problems.
That's true, and maybe we need to remind ourselves that the little fusses and arguments between the kids is normal. What we have the most joy in, and it sounds funny, is when the kids gang up on us.
Right. Well, that's true. That's the other side of the, you know, the equation.
Yeah, they have a common bond, and we've made some rule, and none of the teenagers agree with it, and they join together and bond as step siblings against us, and we just think that's hilarious. And it's good because they're joining together as a unit.
Well, that helps. Well, it's sort of like it unifies them against the parents, and I've known I've gone through that with my sister too when growing up. And you're right as far as that goes, and that I presume it's the common conflict, I guess, that children have with adults, whether it's a blended family or even in a regular family. Is there any other specific conflicts that children does have that you know of that's different than a normal family?
Well, maybe
with the adults.
With the kids, a space issue, because when. Sometimes you can't move into a new home, and with this economy, a lot of people are just making do and picking, you know, either the female or the male's house, usually
right.
it's the mom's house, and everyone's moving in, which means that suddenly you're in a room with a sister or a stepsister that you aren't related to, you're giving up part of your space, those sort of things cause conflict with kids. Between adults and kids, again, the jealousy. Why did Dad need to marry again? Why am I not enough for him? Or,
right.
Or even the stepmom thinking you love your children more than me, just for example. That expressing there's enough love to go around, and it's a different kind of love for your children than for your mate. It's not a competition. You're not going to love one more in replace of the other.
I see. And this conflict resolutions you're talking about, are they the only ones, or do you have some other conflict resolution tactics that you can share with us this morning?
Well, I think it's important for the husband and the wife to discuss issues privately. They need to appear before the kids as a united front and discuss in privately what are our house guidelines and rules or what opinion or stance they're going to take on something. It's okay to tell kids, I don't know, or we'll get back to you. Appearing before the kids with a decision, this is what we're going to do in this household. And when the husband and wife are alone, using I sentences, not when you do this and you make me feel, but not the being on the offense, but talking about how I feel when this happens, and that allows couples to break down their defenses a little bit, talk with each other, and then be able to present to their new family what life is going to be like.
How in your practice, I mean, some of the things I'm sure people are not going into a blended family blind, so obviously they have some ideas on their own about what should work and what should not work. In your experience, what are some of the things that sounded like great ideas, but it just doesn't work?
Well, I had in my family an idea that didn't work. I'm a marriage and family counselor, and so I feel like I have a lot of the answers. But in our family, my husband's children, he was a very laissez-faire parent and was not very active with his kids. So when we struggled with the marriage, he wasn't able to communicate with his kids. And I felt like I knew what to say. You know, I'm the counselor, so I'll talk to
them. Yeah.
But they didn't want to hear that information from a stepmom.
I see.
And so we had to back off and send them to a counselor, and then also me talk with my husband saying, have you considered saying these things to your children, and it coming out of his mouth? Because it doesn't matter what my education or my experience is, I was their stepmom.
You know, that's very, very true, because I had a parent once told me that you're never an expert in your own backyard.
That's right, and not respected in your backyard.
You know, it's amazing because all the information is there, but yet I guess it's you're just too close to the situation, and you can never. It's just a presumption. I think it's a normal human instinct to have our guard up, I guess, you know, under those circumstances. But how should the parents approach their children then about their blended family?
Well, you start off slowly. When the kids hear about the divorce, that of course is a big shock and something to get used to. I might throw in a mistake that some moms and dads make is they try not to disrupt the children's lives, so they don't move. The dad may move out but still leave half of his stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Or the dad may still come over for dinner or still show up at school events and sit next to the mom. If you've decided that the marriage has ended and you've done all you can to make it work and it's not working, you need to present the kids a clear picture, which means that all of dad's stuff's gone and dad comes to the family, to the school event, but sits on a different side of the auditorium. But working the kids through it, yes, mom and dad are separated, they're not going to get back together, and I'm going to start looking, I'm going to start dating. And then introducing, and the person that I date may have kids, so that when the time does come and the man or woman is serious, then the kids have heard about what might happen.
Well, that's interesting, very interesting, because it's you apparently start everything up front from the very beginning, and you just show the separation so that there's no conflict in terms of understanding where you guys are coming from that perspective. What are some of the most common feelings from children who have lived with new adults and then some of the children, on the other hand, that per se refuse to live with the new adults, you know, saying, well, I'd rather live with dad or I'd rather live with mom, and how is that being resolved?
Well, it depends on the age of the child, but if they're under 18, they really don't get a choice. It's an adult decision, and that is important to keep it adult-centered. And a lot of times that's why marriages break down, is families are child-centered, and they forget about the marriage, the actual husband and wife, and just focus on the kids. But explaining to the kids that this is the new reality, and every other weekend you're coming to visit me. I'm dad, and I love you, and here's a little calendar, and I've marked the weekends, and you'll be spending every other weekend with me. And the kids, they get to know the step-parent that lives in their home full-time faster and accept them quicker than the one that they visit infrequently every other weekend or several times a week. That's a little bit harder to get used to, but just explaining to kids, I'm still your parent and I'm still in charge, and this is our new reality, and I love you, I still love you, and that hasn't changed.
Now, in a situation where you get someone, I guess, a parent, an adult, the other half of the equation that's not quite cooperating, and I guess uses the child in a way as a tool, I guess, in some ways. I mean, how does that, you know, how is that getting resolved?
That's very tough. It happens very frequently where the divorce is bitter, and what the one person hates the other person, and they do whatever they can to hurt their former mate. The advice that I've given families that are in that situation is to do what's right, and not be defensive. Deep down in your child's soul and heart, they can see when a parent's as, look, you know, I know your mom is saying bad things about me, but we're not going to do this in this house. In our house, I will not speak negatively about your mother, or the other way around. Mm-hmm. You know, in this house, I will not speak negatively about your father, but you tell the children you love them. We're going to make this work, and we're going to work together, and I'm going to communicate with your father or your mother to do what's best for you, but don't engage. I've been very active on Twitter, and a lot of the single dads and remarried dads talk about the ex-wives that leave long messages on the answering machine, and mm-hmm. and my response is you don't return the call. You, mm-hmm. you wait till you settle down and you're not defensive, and if that call relates to your child, then you return it and unemotionally solve the issue related to the child, but not engage. Because you no longer have that kind of a relationship. It's only in taking care of the child now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it's very difficult.
I think you're right because, when I guess adult does that, they are focusing on themselves, not for the welfare of the child in some ways. Because
mm-hmm.
it's still about them and not about the child. And they're forgetting that ultimately what's important here is the child, as you had mentioned. Are there, based on the economy today, and not so much just the economy today, you know, we live in a society where some people have plenty of money and some people don't, and some people just are struggling to make ends meet. Are there any programs out there that could help families? Because as you know, I mentioned in the beginning of the program, in 2010, blended family will be the predominant family here in the United States. Are there any sort of a program out there for these people who can't really afford, say, counseling?
I don't think quite that the government is caught up with those statistics and providing resources for blended families. Right now, I'd recommend going to your house of worship, a church or synagogue, and explaining your financial situation, and then they would either give the free counseling or a graduated fee. If that's not a possibility, then getting on the internet. It has an amazing amount of resources. You know, one is mine, Blended Family Advice, and many other resources where you can Google a question and find a website in which you can get an ebook or ask a question and get resources in that way where you're spending much less money.
Do you have any? Is there anyone out there, say, an organization? You know, this is this particular program, for example, is the last series of this Mother's Day series special that I'm doing for the month of May, and I kicked off the beginning of this show actually in the tail end of April with adoption, the joy and rewards of adoption. And then, of course, I followed up with the National Mothers Association. And you have here a very defined organization that really goes out there and trying to do something very wonderful for all mothers out there. Is there any organized movement, per se, for blended families?
I do believe there's a couple in Washington working on a blended family association, trying to get more legislature for blended families, but it's not as recognized as some of the other organizations that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And one of it may be the census, the lack of knowing how many are actually out there.
I see. So there's no national organization that actually kind of pull all this data together and then say, okay, guys, we need to work on this because this will eventually affect our country as a whole, in all actuality.
Mm-hmm. Not at this time, right. And they're behind, I believe.
Now, coming back to, you know, the individual family themselves, what are the biggest challenges in respecting each individual family members while honoring the whole unit as a whole?
Well, blending a family will require change from everybody, from the mom and dad in the home, and all of the children. It doesn't mean that anyone is less loved. There's room enough for everyone, but everyone is different. And so understanding those different personalities and yet coming together as a brand new family, a new unit. It reminds me, my son has a really good attitude, and he calls us parental unit number one and number two. And when he's at his dad's house, he calls his dad parental unit number one and stepmom number two. So there's no three and four. He's very good at that. But what we do is we develop new tools.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discovered the children were getting all turkeyed out, too much turkey in the holidays, going between the new families. And so we developed a tradition of we serve seafood over the holidays. So just finding new ways to bond, not forgetting the old memories, but saying we're moving forward now and we need to figure out who this family is and what makes us special.
The common thread that you guys are weaving is, again, it's focused on the love that you guys are both bringing to the equation. Are there any question ever from the children, I guess, maybe more direct, this question is more directed towards you personally, are there anyone ever questioning why this synergy did not work in the previous family or in our family? And why,
why
does it work now versus not then, I guess?
Well, sure. They will ask, you know, why couldn't have you stayed with mom or with dad, and those are very difficult questions, and it's up to each parent to decide how much you want to tell children because you don't want them involved in adult situations and adult problems, but you do want to assure the child that you as my daughter, you as my son, had nothing to do with this. And again, I don't love you any less, even though I don't live with your dad or don't live with your mom. My love for you has not changed. And that was something that I communicated to my stepkids is I would do things for them, you know, change their sheets and clean up their rooms. And they'd say, well, why are you doing that for us? And I would explain, look, I don't know you, and I didn't choose you, but your dad and I got married, and I love him. And I would tell them, because I love him, I love you. And I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to do the best I can as your stepmother and your dad's wife when you're in this home. And I think I've told them 100 times the same phrase, I'm going to love you because I love your dad. And they seem to want to hear it. But again and again, just to reassure that I'm not out to sabotage their relationship with their daddy when they're here.
Do you, in your practice, have you run across a situation where a child comes to you and said that, you know, my stepmom is worse than my mom?
Your stepmom is what?
Yeah, it's worse than my mom. I mean, my mom does this. On the other hand, my stepmom does not do this. And so how do I adjust to that?
It's tough because the rules are different in each house. And if you just look at my family, for instance, my children, I have two kids, and I've remarried, and so they have step-siblings. Their daddy has remarried, and they have a step-sibling through that family. Their daddy had a child with his wife, and so they have a half-brother. Mm-hmm. And then my husband's mother, or his former wife, remarried, and so they go to that home. We have five families that we coordinate. It's very confusing. Mm-hmm. We have a color-coded calendar. And what's confusing is there are different house rules in each home. And we can't govern what happens when my kids or his kids are in their other biological parents' home.
Right.
It's different house rules. And kids actually become better communicators and better negotiators because they learn that things are different at this house and the other house. And I do think that if they'll look at it positively and you talk through with them, it gives them better life skills, too, because one job might be different than another job with different expectations and different rules, and you still have to make it in that job. So just learning what's acceptable in each home. But it is different. One might be a better parent than the other, and everyone's doing the best that they can with our own faults and our own limitations.
No, I think, don't you think, I guess patience is the virtue here for everyone concerned, probably, because you know, by having that and not taking anything personally rather than just looking at the situation.
Yes. And my husband's oldest daughter, my stepdaughter, mm-hmm. she has struggled with the marriage. And once we were able to communicate, then I told her, if something happens and it offends you, I said, then take me in another room and say, when you said this, this is how I felt. And I said, because sometimes people say things and they don't mean what you think they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of getting very, very upset and angry, just pull me off to the side and tell me what you thought you heard or
mm-hmm.
what you think upset you. So giving them the freedom to communicate and be able to tell their dad this, or your mom, this is all new to me and I'm confused and this is hard. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's go to, I have a section here I want to talk to you about in terms of protecting blended family members within the family and within the family's relationship where abuse can take place. Are there any statistics out there on how allegations of physical, mental, or sexual assault or abuse have been impacting blended family?
Well, I did a little research on that, and it seems that the statistics are higher in single-parent families than in blended or in a nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
On those issues, that being in a blended family does not make it in any higher or a child more liable. But I do think it's important when someone has decided to remarry and they're out there dating to realize that they're not just looking for a mate, they're also looking for a parent for their child. And it's someone that's going to be living in your home and helping to bring up your children. So it is very important. And as you do get serious, bringing the new date, the new mate into your home and having your children have brief experiences and then gradually making it a little longer, you know, spending the day with the person and seeing how they act with your children and whether you believe they will be a good parent. Because it's not just you in your 20s looking for someone just for you to start life with. I did come across someone who started a website, checkoutadate.com,
mm-hmm.
and she does criminal background checks on dates, which I thought was interesting if you want to do a little bit more exploration on the person that you're seeing.
That's interesting. What's their website again?
Checkoutadate.com. And I couldn't find the webmaster's name, but that's her primary business right now is to do criminal background checks and other checks on people that you're dating and give you that information.
Sure. I just wanted you to repeat that because for our listeners so that this is something and information that they can use down the road for those who are actually still in the process of dating and trying to find that special someone. Can you give me some example of what happened to blended family when allegations are through in some cases of abuse and when they are false?
Again, not really my field, but
mm-hmm.
having communication, regular communication with children, talking about what's going on. With Twitter, I've made a lot of good connections, and I've met Tara Tamanini. She has a website, kidsawarenessseries.com,
mm-hmm.
and she discusses issues such as that, how to get through them, and also ways to talk to your children. And I believe she's a therapist in Florida, but does a lot of web work. And it's called kidsawarenessseries.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's look at this. I mean, blended families have been portrayed both positively and negatively in the media. And what are some of the best and worst examples as far as blended family shows or movie? I know the Brady Bunch is something that even when I was growing up, I think I watched those episodes on TV, and it seems to be just wonderful. And in some cases, that family seems to, it doesn't matter whether it's a blended family or not, it certainly was a good, say, quote-unquote, role model for other families to follow. So what is your take on this?
I agree with the Brady Bunch, that we all think of that as watching them, and very, very sugar sweet and a little bit unrealistic, and everybody's all huggy-lovey perfect at the end of the 30 minutes or hour, and that's not realistic.
Right.
But I also think in the media, we really can't get a realistic view of a blended family. I think you mentioned Brad and Angelina earlier, and we may see a picture of Brad with one of Angelina's adopted kids on his shoulder and walking through the park. Well, that's just one photo. And then you see the tabloids the next day, whether they're true or not, about personal information about their lives, which, again, we don't know. You know, you hope they have a stable family, but there's no way of knowing. So these little snippets are really not a good way to judge a blended family or see how a blended family acts and lives. I know that there are several television producers right now looking to do blended family reality shows. I've talked to two different ones in the last 2 months, and my kids actually they don't want to be on the screen. but we've been asked twice, and we're trying to put the word out for different these two producers, and they want to do a reality show that really shows the day-to-day of what it's like being in a blended family and how difficult it can be.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think shows like that will help or will hurt the situation?
Well, I think education is good, and the more information we can get about something, the better. And seeing some of the struggles, as long as there's a way to work out some of these difficulties on the air. And I suggested that to a producer yesterday, that you may want a counselor on site, too, to solve some of the tougher issues with the families if they get stuck. You don't want public blended family breakup, which is very about half of the families that remarry will divorce again. So it is very, very difficult.
And that's, you know, you brought up interesting statistics because, yes, about half of the family that gets married will go through another divorce. Now, when you look at that in greater detail, can you, at what point or what is the number that you can attribute to, say, the failure in blending the family versus maybe the husband or the wife, in this case, just adult problems, so to speak, that someone just goes off in a tangent? But is there anything that we can attribute to, like, say, the failure in blending the family together?
What's important when a man and woman get divorced to try to work through what happened. Now, you've tried to work it, of course, try to make it work with your spouse at this moment in time and see if you can make the marriage work. If you've gone through counseling and there's just nothing that can be done and the marriage has ended, it's important for individually that mom and dad to sit down and figure out what went wrong, and then also process it, forgive yourself, and work on your own self-esteem, building yourself back up. What can you offer to another person, and what can you do differently when you're ready to remarry, so that when you move into a new marriage or a new relationship, you don't bring the old baggage and the old arguments and the old methods that don't work. And begin afresh and new, for one thing, not to put your kids through that again, but also for you to grow as an adult and have a healthy relationship.
Do you have, it sounded like, you know, this is interesting because it's like maybe do a pre-counseling before getting married, getting prepared for being married and bringing the family together?
Definitely. Premarital counseling, I recommend in any situation, people without kids, first marriages, and especially blended families, bringing the two together and talking about it's very different when you marry someone with kids, the finances, and deciding what you're going to do about college educations or what is the will going to look like. I know if you Google that on the web, there's several new websites out that help blended families write wills. It's a little bit more complicated. And the kids are also very wary and very, very jealous. So working through those issues. But also recommending individual counseling just to help the divorced male or female as a person. being prepared to marry again, prepared to be in a healthy relationship, because maybe they weren't in a healthy relationship before, but getting yourself ready to offer yourself to another person and go into another marriage.
What is the wisest thing a child in a blended family have ever shared with you?
I think it would be one of my stepdaughters, and it took her quite a while to come to this conclusion, but she realized that her dad needed me. Mm. And she thought that her and her brother and sister would be enough for him. You know, isn't three kids enough? Won't that keep his attention? Won't that fill his life and fill his day? And she's watched us interact, and when she's not here, which she does not live with us full time, mm-hmm. she'll call up and say, "What are you doing?" And it doesn't matter whether it's something, you know, we're heading to a show, or it might be we're outside planting flowers or raking leaves, but she has seen how I'm a partner to him and how he needs an adult mate. And I was very impressed when she finally came to the conclusion that her dad needs a mate, and being a father wasn't just enough and fulfilling enough.
How long did it take for her to recognize and realize that?
Over a year.
Mm-hmm.
It took
mm-hmm.
her a very, very long time, because she said, you know, three kids is enough. You don't need to marry. You've been married, and now you're just here for us.
Okay.
It took her a long time.
That's interesting. Now, may I ask, I mean, at what age did she realize that? I mean, obviously she's, you know, that's the other thing also, something that what you said, and this is true for everyone, I would think, in a blended family situation like you guys are in the fishbowl, and
mm-hmm.
she's watching
yeah.
you guys. And so at what age, may I ask, you know, you don't have to answer the question, but, you know, that she comes to realize, you know, that wow, this is working and this is what's needed.
Well, it's an unusual answer. Is 18, and as an older teenager,
mm-hmm.
she struggled harder than
right.
than a younger teenager or a child. And
mm-hmm.
and you would think that maybe as teenagers grow older, they would be a little bit more rational. But in this situation, the age and the time that she had spent growing up with mom and dad, and now
mm-hmm.
it changing, made it very, very difficult. Her age made it harder
mm-hmm.
for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it did take her a while, and she does fine over at our house. Now, we're not perfect, and yes, being in the fishbowl on my website, blendedfamilyadvice.com, when people ask questions, sometimes I respond, yes, we have a similar problem, or we're still in here. It's not perfect. Again, look at your family or anyone else's family. They're just not perfect. And so things do come up and things do go wrong, or someone does say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. But that's normal. And you backtrack and you focus back on that we love each other and love everyone as a family, and we're going to do what's best to the best of our limited abilities.
Well, you know, if you step back, in all actuality, most of the things you've talked about applies to just about any family out there, whether it's a blended family or a nuclear family, because as I mentioned in the very beginning, I think siblings, rivalry, jealousy
mm-hmm.
Among themselves, I know I encountered that, and I know friends of mine encountered that.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps favoritism, perceived favoritism among parents. Certainly, that's normal. So really, I think when it's all said and done, those are normal, I guess, growing up pains
mm-hmm.
compared to, you know, like being in a blended family situation. Of course, the challenge is greater because there will come a point in time when saying, well, hey, you know, you're not my father, or hey, you're not my you know, my mom. We do have a guest online here, and I perhaps this person may have a question or something to contribute to our show, so I'm going to get this person online with us. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, area code 406, are you on the air right now?
I am, and this is Judy Wright, also known as Auntie Artichoke, and so I'm grateful that I was able to connect with you today, and I do family relationships, and I just wanted to reassure your guests that it doesn't matter what family you're in, that at the end of the day you think, okay, going to start over again tomorrow, glad that we get an opportunity to have a do-over. And so... Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But yeah. I write about family relationships and do a radio show too, and it's the very same thing. We all have the same concerns with our families, but the idea is that we're all going towards the same goal, and that's to raise self-sufficient, self-directed children who can contribute to the world. So I just want to congratulate both of you.
Well, thank you, Judy. I appreciate you listening to the show and for your contribution. I mean, this is very interesting about what you just said. And in all actuality, and that comes back again, even like what I talked about in my book, in my cause of knowing all the 9 different moms that I've had in the book, that I mentioned in the book, it's all about motherly love. It's unconditional. And on the other hand, I've always tell people that in order for you to be love, you need to be able to receive love.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
In order for you to give love, you need to be able to want to give love. Because if not, it will not happen.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
And so it just makes a big difference here when you look at, you know, like a lot of times we complain and rather than we look at the negative versus the positive things. But I do have a question for you, Shirley, is that looking at every, you know, this is sort of relating to business where, but it's not necessarily business, but I'm using business as a correlation here.
Mm-hmm.
They always say within, if you can survive the first 1,000 days in business, you would have made it. So in a blended family situation, if you can survive X period of time, you will make it. Is there any magic number there?
Well, the number that I would pick then, if you can survive the first year, the first 365 days,
mm-hmm.
and then you start repeating things, which then I believe you start developing your traditions, repeating some things, and the kids start feeling some familiarity. It gets easier every single day when you wake up, but I would say after a year, it does become much easier.
And what are the challenges, the greatest challenge in that first year?
The greatest challenges, the moving into the new homes, to getting used to someone that you don't know, a new step parent, getting used to step siblings, and we have a rule to be respectful and kind when any of your step siblings are in the house, and that we just expect everyone to treat each other fairly and with respect. So learning their personalities, you that doesn't just mean saying hi and going to your room and shutting the door till the end of the weekend, but interacting with those new family members.
That brings us to the time to talk a little bit about your book, Blended Family Advice, Tips
mm-hmm.
to Help Stepmoms and Stepdad with Everyday Struggles of Blending a Family Together. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, there's a little bit of everything in there, a lot on communication skills, and what I've done is taken a lot of questions that I've received over the internet and from families in person, and then gone through step by step, non-judgmentally, and a word that I've heard frequently is practically, explaining how to make it through that first year, how to create a new family and new traditions, how to work through parenting differences and negotiating that, finances, how to plan a budget. There's also a section even on house hunting and how to truly involve your kids, biological and stepkids, in moving into a new home, if that's something that's possible, which is ideal, in creating a whole new home in which all of the kids have had a part in helping that decision making process. And then a lot of focus on the marriage. And I've noticed that I get the largest response when I send out messages on my website and on Twitter related to marriage and keeping the husband and wife at the center of the family and at the center of the marriage. And that's the best way that you can love your kids, and the best way that you can bring your kids up is by loving your spouse. That does not mean that you give kids everything they want or do whatever they want. It means you continue having guidelines and having discipline, and the parents make the decisions. The parents are first, and it's the most healthy way to bring up kids and the best example that you can provide for their life. So there's a lot of focus on marriage and helping your marriage be successful, because if the marriage is successful, it gives you a lot of a benefit for helping your blended family be successful.
Shelley, those are wonderful information. Why don't you tell us your website address?
It's blendedfamilyadvice.com. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at blendedfamily4u, and it's the number 4 and just a U at the end, blendedfamily4u. Couldn't get the full blendedfamilyadvice.com on Twitter with their limit. It's amazing just how many families are out there. People will interact with me that have a fully successful blended family and kids that are moving out and into the world, and they just want to send comments.
Hello?
Yes? Are you still there?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There was a blip that I didn't realize whether you're still on the air. Now, let me ask you this now. I guess what Judy had mentioned also just now when she was on, she's still on the air with us, Judy, that there's never too late a time to really revitalize a blended family, because we talk about, you know, at what point, you know, does it work, does it not work? I presume both of you agree that it's never too late, because it's just coming back to the drawing board and moving forward. Any comments on that?
Okay, and did you say Judy is still there?
One of you. Judy, are you still here? Yes. What are your thoughts real quick, Judy, in about a minute or so right here about...
I really appreciate you asking that, and because as our adult children come back, they are telling us things that perhaps we should not have said, or perhaps they perceived as hearing differently. And it's never too late to say, gosh, I really am sorry that that's how it came across. What I should have, in retrospect, I should have said, da-da-da-da, will you forgive me? And apologizing and starting over.
And Shirley?
You're both doing very important.
I'm sorry? And Shirley, how about you?
Mm-hmm. Good comment. Again, focusing on the marriage, the commitment. When you say is it possible to continue to work on the family and a blended family, is continuing that commitment with your partner and the focus on the marriage that you're going to make it work. And it is very difficult. And yes, there are times when you back up and say you wish you could have said it differently, and no, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. But working through beginning again, but focusing again on your spouse and making sure that they're at the very center and keeping that relationship very strong provides stability and predictability for the kids.
And I agree with you both, and I agree and also wanted to mention that when you do say an apology, you have to be in the now. In other words, don't say it because you need to say it. Say it because you really mean it. Because a lot of times, I need to do this, so let me just go do it. And I think kids are smarter than that. They can pick out whether you are truly sincere or not sincere about your apology. And again, that comes back to the open communication that you are developing here with the rest of the family. Let me, as we come to a close to the show, I do want to give both our guests here an opportunity to share their recipes for living. Judy, I don't mean to cut, sort of like surprise you on this, but any guests on my show, if they're on the air with me, I want to give them an opportunity to share a recipe for living with our listeners. Oh. And since you're a very wise person, I'm sure you have several for us.
Well, actually, I'm just writing an article right now for Easing Articles on apologies. So I learned a great deal this morning. Thank you for allowing me to play you while I'm listening. I think that my recipe is in discipline, which means to guide and lead others, is to be firm and fair and kind. And if we keep those things in mind, kids know where their boundaries are. We all do, and that helps, just being firm and fair and kind.
Tough love.
Yeah.
In a way?
Yeah, yeah. Certainly firm love.
Mm-hmm. Firm love. Down. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I as a child, I mean, we're all a child at one time, and when I look back and I say, why did my mom do that? Why did my dad do that? And when I grow up, then I look back and I say, well, I appreciate them doing that, and I understand they did it out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, being in a situation, of course not.
I'm looking very hard for the parents.
Yeah, I'm looking at them picking on me all the time, and maybe, you know, the fact that maybe I'm adopted or something, and I'm not their biological kid. And so looking back, it's very, very different, and I realize that, no, they're just being good parents. And,
right.
and looking up for my interests. And so that's the difference, the way I look at it. Shirley, what's your recipe for living?
Well, with my blended family focus, I believe that there are many different recipes out there. In your book, you have a lot of different recipes from your nine moms. And mm-hmm. I believe that those different recipes can all make an excellent meal, even though they're different. Sometimes the ingredients might be changed. Sometimes changing ingredients improves the recipe or makes it better or just different. So in respect to blended families, I believe that we need to honor everyone's individuality and everyone's differences and just enjoy it. Enjoy and celebrate the uniqueness of every blended family and just celebrate if you have a blended family, it is a new family. And something that's special and something for you to celebrate every day as you get to know each other.
Well, thank you, Shirley. I really appreciate that. I want to take the last couple of minutes here to thank both of our guests. Judy, thank you for calling in this morning. I really appreciate your support of the show and for all the things you have contributed on the air. And, of course, Shirley, thank you so much for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Johnny Tan as well as Shirley Kress-Dudley, a licensed professional counselor from Charlotte, North Carolina. And her book title is Blended Family Advice, Tips to Help Stepmoms and Stepdads with Everyday Struggling of Blending a Family Together. And you can get additional information about her and her book at www.blendedfamilyadvice.com. And for the two of you, I really appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk with us, and this also helps me to conclude the entire month of focusing on motherly love, why we celebrate Mother's Day. And please join me next week as I kick off the month of June with Women Empowerment, Working Moms, The Balancing Act of Motherly Love and Career, and my guest will be Allegra Houston. She recently wrote a book, Love Child, and she'll be with us to talk about her career as well as her book. And for additional information, please join me on my personal blog, johnnytan.com, from mymamaskitchen.com, as well as from mymamaskitchentalkradio.com. Ladies, thank you so much for being with me this morning. I truly appreciate your time. And any last words that you would like to get in, Judy, before we end the show?
Nope, just that we all love you, and the work that both of you are doing is very important, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Shirley, how about
you? Yes, thank you very much, Judy, and Johnny also for the opportunity to be on your show. I met Allegra a couple of weeks ago. She did a book reading in Charlotte. Very
wonderful.
Personal.
Mm-hmm.
Her book is very interesting, and I think next week it'll be a very intriguing and interesting time with her.
Yes, that's wonderful. I mean, if you have a chance, please do listen in. Met her here in Dallas, Texas, for a private signing too, I think probably close to about a month ago. And so it's a very exciting lady, quite interesting stories that she has to tell. So thank you very much for that. And ladies, thank you so much for being here on the air this morning. And to everyone else, thank you for listening and have a great week. Ladies, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.